You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, everybody. It is Monday morning, and welcome back into the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. On today's episode, we've got a Mailbag Monday. It's a question coming into the mailbag concerning the Orioles' international signings that they made on Friday and some of their new personnel and the process as a whole. So we're going to get to that question coming up after the break. But also today, three pieces of Orioles news from the weekend that we wanted to get to involving a signing that the Orioles have brought back a player on a minor league deal. We got a number change for one of the Orioles in the lineup, and then some prospect news from this morning for the O's. And of course, all that and our mailbag question is coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order of those delicious and healthy and nutritious protein bars over at BuiltBar.com. So today we start with three pieces of Orioles news. And most of these good things, as we're keeping it positive vibes. Of course, we talked about the last couple weeks, looking through the Ravens postseason, of course, here in Baltimore. The Ravens eliminated with the 17-3 loss to the Bills on Saturday night in the AFC divisional round. And we kind of officially look forward now to Orioles season in Baltimore with the Ravens done. So the three pieces of Orioles news, we start with the one that, you know, you might care about, you might not, but Rio Ruiz, the Orioles third baseman, has changed his number from 14 to 2. So Rio is going to be wearing the number 2 uniform come 2021. That, of course, made famous most recently by J.J. Hardy. And, of course, Jonathan Villar wore that number as well in an Oriole uniform. If you want to go back further beyond Hardy, you can remember guys like Julio Lugo and others wearing the number 2 for the O's. So Rio makes the uniform change. But in more newsworthy parts from the O's, they have signed Thomas Eshelman to a minor league contract. And of course, that is essentially a re-sign of Thomas Eshelman to a minor league deal. Of course, Eshelman came over to the Orioles back in June of 2019 in a trade with the Phillies that set international bonus slot money to Philadelphia. And Eshelman ended up pitching with the O's in that 2019 season. He threw 36 innings, 10 appearances, 4 starts, and a 6.50 ERA. It wasn't great, but he did come back to the team in 2020 and actually looked much, much better on the mound in 2020. Even though it was a shortened season, he basically threw the same amount of innings. He threw 36 innings in 2019. He threw 34 and two-thirds innings in 2020. That was across 12 appearances and 4 starts. And the ERA dipped down to 3.89. Now, what was interesting is, you know, despite the success, his strikeout numbers, which aren't high anyway, even went down in 2020. But all of his other numbers got much, much better. And, you know, he looked much more like a major league ready right-handed pitcher in 2020. So Eshelman, who is 26, will be 27 in June. You know, still a young right-handed arm, was a second-round pick of the Astros back in 2015, of course, when Mike Elias was over there with Houston. He was DFA'd by the Orioles earlier this offseason. He chose free agency after he cleared waivers rather than go to AAA Norfolk. Of course, looked around at his options and figured his best option was to come back to Baltimore. So the Orioles signed him to a minor league deal. He will be in spring training with the O's in 2021 and is going to compete for a spot still to be on the O's opening day roster. So we'll keep a look at that. But Thomas Eshelman is back with the Orioles. But the third piece of news from today involves top 100 prospects. And, you know, we continue to talk about how the Orioles farm system is just getting better and better. Of course, MLB.com putting the Orioles in its top 10 farm systems in baseball last year, which is the first time that the Orioles had been on that list. And the O's now getting even more good news from the prospect cycle. Of course, we got good news back on Friday with the Orioles announcing much of their international signing class, the biggest one in their history. Now today, earlier this morning, the Baseball America Top 100 prospect list for 2021 was released. Their preseason rankings coming out this morning. And the Orioles, extremely well represented on this list. They ended up with five players on the top 100 list, which is just another group of guys that should all be good players for the O's. And frankly, you know, seeing five guys on this list is quite something for what we've been used to seeing from the Orioles. So we'll go from bottom to the top. First guy on the list from 100 to 1 is Ryan Mountcastle, who comes in at number 63 on the list. And of course, Mountcastle gets himself in the top 100. He will not be there long. We know he's going to be a starter for the Orioles on opening day in 2021. So he will shed his prospect status pretty quickly in 2021 and come off the list. But for now, he is still considered a prospect, even with the small amount of major league time. So he comes in at number 63. Just above him at number 62 on the list, the Orioles have Heston Kjerstad there, the outfielder that they took with the number 2 overall pick in the 2020 MLB draft. Of course, there's been some questions surrounding Kjerstad. I mean, we know he's a big-time power left-handed bat who can play a corner outfield position pretty well. And, you know, the Orioles took him to sign under slot and save some money to get some guys later in that shortened 2020 draft. But we haven't seen Kjerstad play, you know, at all. Obviously, there wasn't a minor league season for him to play in, but, you know, he didn't go to the alternate site. He did not participate in the fall instructional camp that the Orioles held, and he did not participate last week when the Orioles had a little outfielder mini camp in Sarasota as well. Kjerstad was not there, and you know, they've talked, it's a kind of a non-baseball issue is really the most they've said about Heston Kjerstad, and we're still kind of wondering, you know, where he's been. And, you know, still signs pointing to that he'll be ready to suit up in a minor league uniform for the Orioles in 2021. But definitely some questions surrounding Heston Kjerstad at this point, but he does come in at number 62. Just above him into the top 60 is DL Hall. He comes in at number 59 on the list. Of course, the Orioles' number 2 ranked pitching prospect, the left-hander, who is only a year or two away here, it looks like. Some big strikeout numbers in the minors. Had a little bit of an injury issue at the end of 2019, but he's healthy and ready to go for 2021. Then you jump all the way up into the top 25. Grayson Rodriguez, the Orioles' number 1 pitching prospect, is the number 22 prospect in baseball, according to Baseball America. Of course, he's a guy who looks like a future ace. Baseball America writing in the article with the top 100 that Rodriguez, one of the few guys that definitely looks like he will be a number one for the Orioles organization. So that is big time for the O's to get that much hype around Grayson Rodriguez. Of course, the former first-round pick back in 2018 for the O's out of high school, he continues to get better and better. And then really the really great news for Baseball America and for the Orioles, you know, you figure Wander Franco from the Rays is the number one prospect, which he was. But Adley Rutschman comes in at number 2 on the Baseball America Top 100 prospect list, behind Wander Franco, who is probably going to make his debut with the Rays in 2021 and lose that prospect status, which means at some point during the 2021 season, as long as things go well for Adley and he stays healthy, there's a good chance that the Orioles will have the number 1 ranked prospect in baseball, at least according to Baseball America. So an exciting time to be an Orioles fan and continue to watch this system grow. So five guys, all of them in the top 63 of Baseball America's top 100 prospects released this morning. But speaking of prospects, you know, the Orioles added a lot of guys and some pretty young guys. A bunch of teenagers on Friday signed to the 17-player international class for the Orioles. And, you know, we talked about the class on Friday's episode, but today a Mailbag Monday episode, and we got a listener question, which involves just how the Orioles are getting these guys. And Kobe Perez, who was hired by the Orioles a couple years back to head their international scouting department, and the question comes about, you know, how are the Orioles getting these guys? What has changed for the Orioles? And, you know, what is the difference between what the Orioles are doing to kind of up this department and what the Braves did a couple years ago that obviously landed them in some hot water, got some sanctions, and it led to their GM resigning and being banned from baseball? So we're going to answer that question and get you the big differences between how the teams operate in the international waters. So that's all coming up after the break as we answer a Mailbag Monday question. So we'll get back to the baseball in a sec, but first we'll talk about some other sports going on right now. And we know a lot of you getting geared up for the Super Bowl, the AFC and NFC championship games coming up this weekend. Also got college basketball, the NBA, and the NHL all this week as those seasons continue to get underway. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus if you're looking to head over there and place some wagers on some sports this week. And if you're looking at tonight, college basketball on tonight, a big game at 9 o'clock, number 6 Kansas at number 2 Baylor. The betonline.ag line for that one, number 2 an undefeated Baylor, favored by 8.5 points over pretty much the perennial Big 12 favorite in Kansas, should be a good one tonight. So if you're looking to maybe make a little bit of money and watch some sports this week, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by Built Bar. That's the new and improved Built Bar that is even deliciouser. It's got 18 amazing flavors, 6 of them new, including lemon almond cheesecake and cookies and cream, and the 12 OG flavors like toffee almond, peanut butter, and banana bread. And those bars, all of them, 100% covered in chocolate. And they're healthy too. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Let's look at the coconut almond bar. It's got 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, and just 5 grams of sugar. So if you're interested in a delicious and healthy protein bar, go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. So we're back here on a Mailbag Monday edition of the podcast, and we have one listener question to answer here in today's mailbag, and it comes from Vincent. And Vincent asks, my question deals with Kobe Perez. How is what he does for the Orioles now different from what John Coppolella was doing for the Braves? Perez constantly states how these contracts take years to get into place with recruitment or grooming. Isn't that exactly what Coppolella did with the Braves? I just don't understand how the Orioles are doing it ethically and the Braves weren't. The international market is like the Wild West. Well, it can be at times, Vincent, and thank you for the question. Of course, first of all, Kobe Perez is basically the guy who heads the Orioles international scouting. He is the Orioles senior director of international scouting and was hired under Mike Elias to kind of take over, you know, a piece of the Orioles that this organization wasn't looking into. We know that before Mike Elias got here as GM, the Orioles were not really wading into the international market, especially in Latin America, looking for players to up their system. And that has really changed under Elias. And of course, we talked about it on Friday, the Orioles signing a nice crop of 17 players to really up this system. They signed across the board really two of the top 35 guys, including Samuel Basalo, a catcher from the Dominican, and Michael Hernandez, a shortstop from Venezuela. Those two will make right around $1.2 and $1.3 million in their signing bonus. And then the Orioles went with some position player depth as well among the 17 players and spent about $4.5 million, and they get allocated just over $5 million to sign in the period. And of course, you know, the question does center around, you know, what exactly are the rules with these international signings? And you know, the top rule is you can't sign guys who are younger than 16 years old. But, you know, it's a little bit understood that you can talk with these players when they are younger than that. And, you know, the other thing comes in, well, for the Orioles, it's a little bit more of a long-term process this year. And frankly, for every team, it's a long-term process. Because these guys that were signed on Friday were guys who were initially supposed to be signed in July of 2020, but because of the pandemic and the pushback of the Major League Baseball season and the cancellation of the minor league baseball season, MLB also pushed back its international signing period from July until January. So this period is open from now through December. So that did give the O's more time to talk with these guys, but it's pretty much kind of accepted and somewhat within the rules across baseball that you can talk with these guys before you sign them, and sometimes even for years to try and scoop them up. And Perez talked about it last year because, you know, the Orioles, in their quest last year to sign international prospects, ended up getting, you know, a total of 44 guys by the end of it. And really Mike Elias's first full class and Kobe Perez's first full class at the head of the Orioles in this situation. And the reason they got, you know, so many guys and, you know, they had a pool, bonus pool of about $5.7 million. They used about $4.9 million last year. And they signed 44 prospects, but their top earner was an outfielder named Luis Gonzalez, who got $475,000 as a signing bonus. Of course, the Orioles' top paid this year was $1.3 million. So they're starting to step it up. And Perez said that by next year, he thinks the Orioles could be in play for some of these top 10 prospects, but they were going more for depth. And what they had to do last year really was because they were behind the eight ball, they went and got a lot of guys who were late bloomers and who saw that other teams, you know, had already used up most of their international signing pool money. They saw that the Orioles had money left and they were able to scoop up a lot of these guys for much cheaper. And that's why they headed up with 44 prospects through that last, you know, full session of international signings. But of course, we go back to Vincent's question and it has to do with the Braves as well. And, you know, John Coppolella, and, you know, you kind of have to know his story as well. He was the general manager of the Braves and eventually resigned back in 2017 because there were allegations about not just infractions he made in the international market, but also infractions that he made, you know, with free agents here in the States and with tampering and with draft prospects and, you know, kind of offering them money under the table. As well. So there was a lot of things that he got in trouble for. But the main thing that MLB found with the Atlanta Braves and the reason why, you know, their former GM is now, you know, ousted from baseball and had to resign from his post is how they were spending the money in the international market. Now, teams are all allocated, you know, when it's all said and done. The allocation amount for these teams and their international bonus pool ends up usually somewhere between about $4.5 and $6.5 million every year that they get to spend. Well, when you break down what the Braves did with their, what at the time was seen as just an incredible class in 2016, they brought in maybe the best international signing class ever back in 2016 and got a lot of top 100 prospects, top 30 prospects for themselves. They ended up spending $11 million more than what they were supposed to be able to spend in the international bonus pool. They exceeded that number by more than $11 million. And that was because they were essentially offering guys money under the table to sign with Atlanta and not, you know, going directly through Major League Baseball. So, for example, they might officially sign a guy for $2 million, and that's what, you know, goes through MLB. But, you know, there would have been sneaky ways that they essentially got that guy another $2 million that was off the books under the table to get him to sign with the Braves. And, you know, because of all those wrongdoings, the Braves were forced to forfeit nine players from that incredible class, including their top prospect in that class, who was a 17-year-old infielder named Kevin Mighton, who was at the time going to be a top 50 prospect in baseball and was given a bonus of over $4 million that year. And they also had to forfeit another top 30 prospect for them in Abraham Gutierrez, a catcher, who they gave over $3.5 million. And so essentially what the Braves did is they submitted signing bonus figures that were way lower than the agreement with the players, and they were essentially giving money to players through other ways. Now, the Red Sox were popped for something similar a couple years ago as well, where they were giving money to trainers who worked with multiple players, and those trainers were then feeding the money to the different players. So, you know, they might sign one guy for, quote, $500,000 but some of it would go to his trainer, and then it would be sent over to another player to avoid maximum signing numbers on certain guys. So basically what they did was a big-time workaround, and MLB caught him, and, you know, this GM lost his job. And, you know, the way they talk about the signings, it does feel similar, the Orioles and the Braves and all these teams, you know, talking with these players for years in advance, and you know, working up all this money. But really the big issue with what Atlanta did was they were giving guys a lot of money under the table, and they were not submitting it to Major League Baseball. You know, it kind of felt like a NCAA recruiting situation where, you know that guys are getting, you know, money under the table, but it's not reported, and it goes without being seen, and some schools get caught and most don't. But, you know, you look what the Braves were doing, it was big amounts of money. You know, look at it, $11 million more than they were allowed to spend. It's what they spent on these free agents. So, Vincent, to answer your question, that's really the big difference between what the Orioles are doing and what the Braves did illegally, is that, you know, it's okay to contact these prospects years before. And, you know, there might be some teams, maybe including the Orioles, you don't know, who bend those rules a little bit, but that's more of an accepted bends of the rules of maybe contacting these guys a little bit earlier than you're supposed to. But the big no-no is feeding them money that you are not allowed to have. You know, no team usually gets more than about $6.5 million to spend per year on these international free agents. And, you know, you can't be giving them $11 million more than you were allocated by MLB to spend. And those allocations are to, you know, keep things fair across the board, and not just let, you know, a team like the Yankees spend $25 million and get every single player while everyone else is left in the dust. So that's what the Braves did. And they got popped for it big time, and they had some big repercussions. They had to forfeit basically that entire incredible 2016 international class. So as long as the Orioles aren't doing that, offering guys, you know, oodles of money under the table and not reporting it to MLB, they're going to be looking good in this international prospect class. You know, this class looks really good. It's the best one in Orioles history. They've got the two best, you know, international players, at least from Latin America, that they have signed on Friday. They're going to get another couple players trickle in from this class, and obviously some lower level signings as this window is open all the way through December. And as Kobe Perez said, who's done a great job so far with the Orioles, coming this time next year, they are going to try to get some of these top 10 guys. You know, you look at what the Orioles got, you know, they got the number 29 and 33rd ranked prospects in this international class and had to spend over $1 million on each of them. Kobe Perez wants to go after some of these top 10 guys that are getting, you know, these big 3 million plus and maybe more signing bonuses. He wants to go after some of these guys and go get a prospect in the international signing market that can slot in and become a top 10 prospect in your system. And, you know, that is going to be the goal for the Orioles moving forward. And eventually, they're not going to sign these giant 44-player classes or these, you know, more spread-out classes. But that's because right now, they don't have a lot of depth still in the system. They're building that depth and building and building. And they're going to get to a point soon where they feel they have the depth. Now they can go after those big-ticket guys and guys who they feel pretty confident are going to be good major leaguers one day. And that's where things are going to change over the next year or two. As you know, it's not just about getting number one picks and getting, you know, the Adley Rutschmans, the DL Halls, and the Grayson Rodriguezes and having them work out. It's about also hitting on your second, third, fourth, fifth round picks, hitting on some 15th, 20th round picks, hitting on some international signings, hitting on some trades that don't exactly bring you, you know, top level prospects, gathering all this depth in your system so that you're not just relying on DL Hall and Grayson Rodriguez to be your number ones and save your franchise, so that you're at the point where, yes, Grayson and DL Hall might be good, but behind them, you have a Keegan Aiken and a Dean Kramer and a John Means coming through. You have a Zach Lowther and a Michael Bauman and an Alex Wells, and you have all these guys, and you have these younger guys. You know, you have a Gray Fenter back there, and some of these, you know, much younger pitchers, some like Kevin Smith that they got, you know, in the trade with the Mets, to have all these guys backing you up. And you always talk about depth at the major league level. You want that depth at the minor league level as well, because it turns into major league depth. And then when you're winning and you are looking to trade four guys at the deadline, you don't have to give up your top two major league ready prospects because you have a lot of depth that you can trade for major leaguers as well. That's what the Orioles are doing right now. You know, to finish off on Vincent's question, it looks like they are doing it within the rules. The Braves did not do that. They were giving way too much money to guys and not reporting it to Major League Baseball and going well over their limits. And that's what they were popped for. So it's really, you know, not about the time that they contact these guys. It's more about the money they illegally gave out. And that is the big difference between what the Braves did and what, you know, the other 29 teams have done in the international market. We hope the success continues for the Orioles. So, Vincent, we hope that answered your question here on this Mailbag Monday. If you'd like to have your question answered on a Mailbag Monday episode in the future, you can email us at LockedOnOrioles@gmail.com or tweet me at @ConnorNewcomb_ or tweet the podcast account at @LockedOnOrioles with your question, and we will answer it on a future Mailbag Monday show. But despite, you know, still seeing a lot of losses at the major league level, it is definitely an exciting time to be an Orioles fan, especially looking at that system. And, you know, if you're also excited about some other sports across the board, you know, looking to maybe get real excited about some upcoming NFL games or others and maybe place a wager as well, you know, you can look at our new podcast, Locked On Bets. And 2020 is mercifully over, and it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. And if you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, the NFL, NBA, and NHL locks all winter long. They even did some MMA on last week's episodes as well. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. And if you go subscribe to that one, also make sure to subscribe to Locked On Orioles on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this podcast. Give us a rating and a review if you can as well. That really helps out the pod. So we'll be back with you on Wednesday here on the podcast. Of course, 3 episodes per week at this point here in the offseason on the pod. We'll keep an eye on the Orioles, see if they might make any more moves, even some minor ones in free agency. We'll keep you updated on all the moves going on around Major League Baseball, and just keep an eye on the Orioles as we chug through this offseason. So all that look continues on Wednesday when we're back here with you on the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.